Martha Scott and Jean Gallitzer Levy didn't set out to become illegal abortion providers. They were just women who thought other women should have control over whether and when they had a child. That was a revolutionary idea. For much of the world's history, girls and women had little access to reliable birth control and few safe or legal choices to address an unintended pregnancy. It was almost as true in the United States in the 1960s as it was in ancient Greece and Rome. Until 1965, almost half the states still had laws on their books restricting the sale of birth control, and for some years after that, many doctors flat out refused to provide it to unmarried females because they didn't believe they should have sex. In addition, for much of the 20th century, abortion, or intentionally terminating a pregnancy, was illegal in every state unless the life of the woman was in danger. Despite that, hundreds of thousands of women, perhaps as many as 1 million a year, sought the illegal procedure. In the 1960s, that began to change. Lawyers began to question why women who were victims of rape or incest, or who faced serious health issues, were forced to either continue a pregnancy or endure an illegal abortion. Doctors were troubled by the increasing number of women who arrived at emergency rooms injured by or dying from backroom abortions. Attitudes about premarital sex shifted at the same time that women began to demand rights that had been denied to them. In a gathering wave, women and men, ministers and rabbis, society ladies and feminists began to insist that women be able to control whether and when they bear children. It was an uphill battle. Medical schools had drummed into generations of doctors that abortion was both illegal and wrong, except in very specific circumstances. The powerful Catholic Church was firm in its opposition to both medical birth control and abortion, even if a woman was raped or her long-term health might suffer from a pregnancy. For everyone involved, this was a deeply personal and moral issue with little middle ground. In the early 1970s, Scott and Gallitzer Levy, then Gallitzer, joined a group of Chicago women who supported women's reproductive rights and went further than most. Initially, the group had referred pregnant callers to reliable, though illegal, abortion doctors. But the cost was high, at least $500 a procedure, or $3,600 or more in today's dollars, and some of the providers were rude or abusive to their patients. For a time, the group hired its own abortion provider, but he wasn't a medical doctor, and after some months, he wanted to relocate. Rather than find a replacement, he began to teach a handful of the women volunteers, including Scott, how to perform safe abortions themselves. By modern standards, that was a shocking choice. But it also harkened back to the thousands of years that women, quietly and often secretly, helped each other with contraception and abortion. Pregnant women seeking an abortion in the Chicago area learned about the service from small advertisements, doctors, and friends who suggested they call Jane. One group member would return the messages, and others would help women through the process. Officially, the Chicago women called themselves the Abortion Counseling Service of Women's Liberation, or the Service for short. But everyone else called them Jane. For women like Sunny Chapman, who was 19, pregnant, and terrified, Jane was a lifesaver. "I would rather die than have a baby," she said years later. Panicked, she had tried to end the pregnancy by jumping off a friend's garage roof and taking scalding baths. She made herself sick with quinine, but didn't miscarry. She was referred to an abortion provider, but his $600 fee was a fortune beyond belief, equal to more than 7 months of rent. "I couldn't imagine getting that much money together," she said. Finally, Jane was able to help her for what she could afford.